I'm trying really hard over the last couple of years to be as open book as I possibly can so that everyone out there who feels or felt the same way that I do knows that you're not alone in this. And it, like, you can get to a space where you feel, you know, confident and capable. And even when things go wrong and you're like, ah, I'm so frustrated with this, at least you know kind of what the troubleshooting steps are or how to get past it so it doesn't destroy your whole day or week or year or feel life ending. So,
hey guys, welcome back to the Hive Podcast. As always, thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. If you're watching, maybe if you're listening, you can tell I'm using a different mic for the first time in over a year. Up until this point, I've been using the Shure SM7B, but Rode sent over this Rode NT1A, and it's running into the first Rodecaster because I don't have the second one, but we're running into the first one, which actually has a Rode NT1A setting. So hopefully this sounds pretty good. You know, I'm doing the one thing you're never supposed to do is create with brand new content you've never tested. So hopefully this sounds good. But I have a great guest in store for you guys this week. Last week, if you listened, we had Doc Rock back on the show. Doc's been on three times? I can't remember. But he's been on quite a while, or quite a few times. I love having Doc on. We talked about video podcasting and everything he learned at all these podcasting conferences he went to over the last month. But he's also the co-host of The Flow, which is the Ecamm podcast. And now we have the other host of that podcast on the show, Katie Fox. Katie, welcome to the Hive Podcast.
Oh my goodness, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk to you. I love The Flow. I'm so happy you guys started that podcast. Yay. I've learned so much from it. I've really enjoyed it. I love how you talk about the process of creating a podcast, and you've had a ton of guests on, but I want to learn more about who Katie Fox is. You work for Ecamm, but give us a little rundown of what you do for Ecamm.
Yeah, sure. So I'm the director of marketing at Ecamm. For those of you who don't know Ecamm as well, we're a pretty small team. There's only 9 of us in total. So when I say director of marketing, it's mostly all of the marketing. There's not necessarily one specific thing that I do. Doc is on my team. And then we have a third member named Caleb, who, you know, between the three of us, we cover all aspects of marketing. Yeah. And I've been with the company for about 3 years or so at this point. Just has been a really incredible journey. So I love that you're enjoying The Flow from the process standpoint, because the whole point of creating that show was so that we could learn along the way as well. So it's a selfish show in that we really wanted to be able to better understand, you know, what the potential was in the video podcasting space, how to do it, what kind of questions that people had. And so really kind of diving in and trying it is the Ecamm way, and is certainly the way that that my marketing team functions. So I'm glad that it is resonating. I'm learning a ton along the way every time that we do an episode.
How long was that show in the planning?
Oh my goodness. That's a really great question. I think we started talking about podcasting as a potential audience for Ecamm late last year. So probably about a year or so ago. I mean, Doc comes from a podcasting background and has been doing it for years. So I think the second that we added Doc to the team, there was, you know, talk of podcasting, but I think seriously, we've been talking about it for about a year now. So I was gonna say, probably most of your listeners out there, if you haven't kind of jumped into the space of podcasting, you're probably like us, where we were like, we should do this. And it kept getting kind of pushed back. And finally we were like, you know what, a line in the sand, we are going to do this on this date, even if we're not 100% ready, even if we don't know everything. We just jumped in and started. And I'm really glad that we did, because now it feels easier, you know, and certainly we understand a lot more, but it was by the act of doing it that we got to this point.
You know, I've talked to numerous clients about that, you know, where they have all these ideas and they want to start creating, but they don't know where to start. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, you've already started, because you've started thinking about it and you've started planning.
Exactly.
But their perfectionism kind of holds them back, because they just feel like they're not ready enough. But you're never going to know what it takes and what you need to improve on and what works and what doesn't until you actually get started. There's no way until you actually do it. Do the process to figure out what process works, what doesn't. So I'm glad you guys finally pulled the trigger and set like a date, like, we're doing this.
We're doing this.
Sometimes that's exactly what is needed. I think everyone gets hung up on some of the minute details of gear and process and everything. you're not going to know until you get started. So,
And even when you have everything down, today's a great example of this. I was just saying before I jumped on with you, I'm like, I finally feel really great. You know, I got the studio looking the way that I want it to, and I'm feeling like really confident every time. And everything went wrong this morning. None of the audio worked. I'm literally on my, like, on my phone camera. I have like five cameras around me. None of them are functioning the way, you know what? And that it's going to happen, but all of the practice and kind of forcing yourself to do it on a regular basis is going to get you to a space where you feel less panicked about it, you know, less upset by things going wrong, and just having a better understanding of how to fix things when everything goes wrong, because it absolutely will.
Right. Like right now, for instance, like you said, setting up today, your audio and your camera, me right now, I am plugged into Ethernet, but for some reason, the computer's stolen Wi-Fi. So if you're seeing like a glitch on the video end, that's my bad, not Katie's. I don't know. Your internet there in Boston sometimes is a little
iffy. It gets a little wonky here. No matter what we do or how much we spend, it seems to always be like, nope.
The funniest thing, so quick side note, we're gonna go off on a little tangent with internet. So I was trying to upload projects to my editor who's offsite yesterday after a full day of shooting. And when I started uploading the files to Dropbox, it said it was going to take 16 hours to upload. And it would normally take maybe like 45 minutes for this size project.
Something's wrong.
So you do that like internet speed test, you know, Google does it. And as like my upload speed was like 0.6 something like megabytes. It was really bad. So I have Cox Internet here in San Diego. So I log in, do their test. Of course, when you do their test, it shows a little bit faster because it's their test and their internet. Okay,
because it's them.
So you chat and you're like, hey, I've tried resetting my router. I'm hardwired in. So something's weird. Huh. It seems to be working fine, sir. And then you do the test with them on and it works fine. Like there's got to be conspiracy that like, yes, there was a problem, but we're going to say there's not because we fixed it without telling you. Just because you're chatting.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, oh, no, not seeing anything on our end. You must be crazy.
Yeah. It says 16 hours. I can't wait that long. Anyway, back to the show. Let's talk about the flow a little bit more. What is your guys' flow? I would love to dive into a little bit of the process, you know, because you decided on a co-host, you know, kind of setup for the podcast. Yep. How is that doing it remotely? I think that might interest some people hearing about that because before COVID, if you had a podcast and you had a guest, most likely you guys were together in the same studio recording. Now we're so used to doing this remote thing that it's not unheard of to have your guest or your co-host to be remote. How has that process worked for you and Doc?
Yeah. So I mean, Doc's in Hawaii. So not only is he remote, but he's on like a completely different time zone than me. So it's real early when he joins in. We changed this process. So it's good for everyone to know that like, it's totally okay to test some things for a bit and figure out what, you know, maybe isn't working or what might work better. So when we first started, because we're Ecamm and we're trying to teach people how to use Ecamm for video podcasts, we are using Ecamm for our podcast. So Ecamm has built into it an interview feature, which we're using today, where you can basically send a link out to a guest. They click on it in their whatever internet browser they want, and they join remotely into the call so they can choose their camera and their microphone, et cetera. So, you know, that made it easy in that, you know, we knew we were both coming on, you know, remotely. We knew that we'd be using Ecamm interview. So that was how we started. What we found pretty quickly was that it's great, like in that it worked fine, looked fine. And as far as like a user experience and viewer experience on the other side, everything looked great. It was actually bogging down our process a lot because once we were done recording, it would be this act of like, okay, you know, I have the video on my end because, you know, I was driving this day and, you know, and Doc's like, okay, I got, you know, I was also recording on my end. And so we'll upload these files, you know, into the shared folder. And then we got to get them over to our editor, Luis, to tweak everything. And we have a week in our timeline from when we do our live recording on YouTube to when the audio episode rolls out. So we were pulling it off, but you know, there were days where it was like down to the last minute before we had to get it out, where we were, you know, scrambling and finishing up things, and the process felt just a little bit difficult. So now what we are doing is our editor, Luis, actually is the one who is using Ecamm. He brings both of us in as remote guests. So we are both using a link and calling in, which means that neither Doc or I kind of have the ability to control the show or to, you know, change scenes. But what that does do is that once we're done our live recording, Luis, our editor, already has the file. He has it sitting on his computer. We don't have to worry about uploads. We can send extra files over. So, you know, we can record on our end and send kind of those isolated video and audio files along to him. But he has everything that he needs to get started with editing. So it saved us probably 2 or 3 days of time, which I think is, for us, was the biggest issue in that kind of remote space. There's obviously other issues that can happen if you're bringing on remote guests, like internet connectivity, like internet, for example. But
I think that was a perfect point to like say that, because yeah. I think maybe if you're watching this, Katie might have froze for a second. So yes, like internet issues.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, you know, internet issues are always going to exist, which is why, you know, having a workflow, or having a good understanding of what could happen is a good idea. With us, our process, for those of you who don't know, is that we live stream our podcast. So we go live every Tuesday on YouTube, and we do that in front of what we now are affectionately calling our live studio audience. So it is that kind of like old school feel where like everyone's in the audience and hanging out with us. It keeps us accountable. And what's kind of good about that is that if everything went wrong, like if my internet died or Doc's internet died or everything kind of fell through, it's not the end of the world. We could always re-record it, you know, and it wouldn't be the end of the world. But we're capturing all of that magic, and being able to start with live video, you know, gives us an additional audience that wouldn't exist if we didn't do it that way. So I'm sort of less concerned about the internet from that perspective, because if things go wrong, it doesn't stop the podcast. It's just, you know, it kind of pauses us on that first thing. We could still record, still get it out according to our schedule. And our audience understands that because they get what live streaming is and that sometimes things go wrong.
Yeah. I mean, you brought out a ton of good points. One, if something goes wrong, it's not the end of the world, right? Because if something goes wrong and it doesn't come out the way you want it to come out, you don't have to use it. And I think a lot of people don't have to use it. I think a lot of people get held back creating because they're like, this just wasn't good. Okay, well, don't use it. Redo it. Make it better. What do you need to fix? It's not the end of the world. It's such an interesting process, and watching you guys learn along the way, because correct me if I'm wrong, but you didn't really have a creative background before Ecamm, right? I mean, you were in marketing but like doing a podcast, that was kind of all new to you, right?
Yeah. It's so funny. I'm working on my, I'm doing a presentation, in about a week and a half at an event in the UK. That's all about like process and workflow and content repurposing. And I always start all of these presentations off the same way. I'm like, hi, I'm Katie. I hate video. The concept of being on video, if you had asked Katie 4 years ago, 3.5 years ago, I would have been like, I'll do it if I absolutely have to, if it means that like I won't be fired from my job, and I come from a theater background. So like I have no issue being on stage or, you know, doing kind of presentations. There's something very different about staring into a camera. You know, my perfectionism goes on overdrive. I do, like you said, I don't come from a creative background. I started in copywriting and from a writing background. That's where, you know, I come from, is this world where you have time by yourself to type something up or write something up and be like, that's not quite it. I'm going to look at, you know, adding this different word in or changing or having someone review it before it ever actually hits a website or gets into a book. I worked for years as an editor, so I'm like I have this very kind of type A overthinking perfectionist brain where I'm like, no. So it's been a process. It's been a learning process. And I think for me, what's kind of both a double-edged sword with it is that live video is so public that it makes it scary because you're in the moment, you can't correct it, you can't fix it. Everyone can see, everyone is watching. It feels like it's got a lot on the edge of it. But it's also the most freeing awesome part of it. So the more that I did it, the more I was like, oh, you know, it's so terrifying. I can't correct it, whatever. Oh, wait, I can't correct it. So I can just keep going through and I'm not wasting hours saying like, oh, you know, I wish I had said it this way. You know, let me re-record that. Nope. Now I did this thing wrong. Let me re-record that. Nope. Now I did this thing. That was what was panicking me, was that whole process of being like, shoot, I didn't say it the exact way I wanted to. Now I'm off this way. And because I could edit it, I wanted to, and I wanted to go back and fix it. I feel like the live video has kind of freed up that,
yeah,
that side of it, where now I'm like, oh, all right, you know, that's fine. It's good enough. It's fine. It's serving its point. It's getting it out there. And I'm not wasting so much time beating myself up for how I could have done it better.
There's a lot of authenticity in the imperfection. And I think people really connect with that, especially with live streams and with podcasts like this one. I don't re-record anything because we're doing the interview and I'm not going to be like, hey, Katie, pause that. Let me redo it because I sound like an idiot.
Stress me right out. I'd be like, oh no, what did I what did I say? How do I say it better next time?
Yeah, your answer wasn't good enough. Can we redo that? Yeah, no. Okay, we don't do that on our show. We record live and what we get is what we get. And I think people really connect with that and it helps them feel like, hey, cool, they're not perfect. I'm not perfect. I can do that. So what were some of the biggest hurdles for you? I mean, other than you didn't like being on video, coming from a background that wasn't really about creating content that's being consumed on the internet, what were some of the biggest hurdles you had to overcome to feel a little bit more comfortable?
Oh gosh. So the concept of being on camera, everyone can see it, was the first one. The second one was honestly looking stupid. I am used to really researching and spending my time on things and really understanding how everything works. And a tool like Ecamm has 9 million features in it. So no matter how good I felt at the tool, and I still feel this way, inevitably someone says, oh, I was trying to connect my microphone in and, you know, this weird thing happened in Ecamm. How do you fix it? And it was that moment of being like, I don't know. They're going to think that I'm stupid. They're going to think that I'm bad at my job. That, you know, why don't I know this thing? It was beating myself up in my head, or the fear of thinking that could happen. You know, in a live, someone would come on the chat and ask me some crazy question and I would feel like I wasn't an authority enough to answer it, or, you know, that Ken and Glenn would think that I wasn't an authority enough to answer, like looking, just kind of that whole concept of feeling or looking incapable, was probably the second biggest thing. Those were probably the biggest two. How I was able to kind of get through that, a few things. The first was that I have an amazing team who like gave me some outs, which was nice. They probably shouldn't have, but there were times where, you know, Ken was like, I can take today's interview, you know, no problem. And then being in the room kind of behind the scenes helped me see, you know, what he was doing, or see that he wasn't perfect at it either. It gave me that kind of level of confidence to be like, okay. And then the second was that our customers were awesome. So I say to everyone, find a group. It doesn't matter who it is, your best friend, your brother, your spouse, your partner, your neighbor, whoever, to sit in the chat and say things that make you feel better. Every time I joined, even when I felt like I was terrible, there were people from our Ecamm fam who would pop on and say like, oh, I'm so happy you're on today. Oh, I loved your smile. Oh, I like your earrings. Oh, your sweater looks great. They would say things, and I don't even know like if they were just doing it to be nice or if they actually thought that way. Every one of those posts calmed me down and made me feel better and reminded me like, oh no, I'm here to bring value. I'm here to deliver something. And it, every single time I got through, you know, the next live stream, I came back at it with a little bit more confidence, or I remembered, oh yeah, I felt really panicked. And then someone said something nice, or at the end, you know, they said, oh, I found that content helpful. All of those positive affirmations just gave me a little bit more confidence each and every time I did it.
Yeah. And I think those are, I mean, your fears and the obstacles you had to overcome, I think are some of the most common that a lot of people feel. Mm-hmm. And so it's, there's comfort in knowing that other people face the same fears and same problems, that you're not alone, right? But so much of it is in our head. so much of it is our own fear, because you guys do a great job. The show's fantastic. And so if you're wanting to learn more about podcasting, you should definitely go check out The Flow, because I listen to it each and every week. Even if I can't watch it live, I will go back and re-listen to it, and definitely watch it, because it's a lot funner to watch. It's great to listen to, too. So, you know, subscribe, but watch it if you can, because I learn a lot. And of course, you know, it's powered by Ecamm. I absolutely love Ecamm. It was like the only solution I even considered when I was like, all right, I'm going to do this video version of the podcast.
This video thing. Yeah.
It was the only solution that made sense, because there are so many different uses for it, not just podcasting. Yeah. If anything, it's being repurposed for podcasting, because that wasn't the official or intended use. Yeah. Now that you guys are seeing that people are starting to use it for podcasting, can you give us a glimpse into the thinking there at Ecamm on features that, hey, people are using this in a way that we didn't think they would, but we like it and we're behind it, which I think is... I talked about this with Doc. That's what I love about Ecamm. I mean, it's a small team, but it's a great team. And you guys are behind what the users want out of the application and how they're using it and evolving it. And you guys support that rather than saying, no, that's not really what we do. If you want to use it that way, that's cool. But yeah, we're not gonna dive into that, because that's not what we want to do. You guys are all for it. What are some of the changes? What are some of the changes you notice that, like, hey, people really want this because they're using it for podcasting, but it doesn't do this. Here's what we're going to do to help them. Can you give us maybe a glimpse?
Yeah. So, so there are a few, and most of them are actually in development, hopefully coming at you soon, especially if you're in our beta testing group. The first is isolated video. So what we mean by that is that if you are in the podcasting space and you edit, I don't do this myself, but I'm told from other editors that what you really want to have is individual files for yourself, for your co-host, for your guest, anyone else that's involved with the podcast, right? So that's your separate audio files and your separate video files, so that if you're editing, you can mix those together to create, you know, the perfect final result. Right now we have isolated audio files. So once you're done recording or live streaming, you get, you know, the mixed video file of everything that you displayed on camera, but then you also have your separated audio files. We are replicating that with video so that you'll be able to just do more with your video files. So that's the biggest one. And that one is sort of in the final stages of development, and it will roll out with our next version, which is 4.0. Some of the other kind of smaller ones that we've seen are things that play into that entire remote guest or remote co-host space that is really popular in podcasting. So things like, you know, being able to bring guests on easily, and kind of thinking through how we can, you know, continue to make that experience as easy as possible. So we've recently added things like the ability to not only talk back and forth kind of behind a video or behind the show with your guests or your co-hosts, but also type messages back and forth with each other. I'm trying to think what else. Some of the comment moderation questions have come up. So as podcasters are going into, you know, as kind of the podcasting group is looking more into video and live video and how they can extend out their podcasts, they want things like the ability for either, you know, the host or co-host to be able to control the show in a little bit better way. Right now it's predominantly whoever has Ecamm on their computer is the one that has all of the control over the broadcast. For the most part, Ecamm was kind of not made for pod, like it was, it certainly was not, it was made to be a live streaming tool, but the features that exist within it make podcasting really easy. But I think sometimes because we buy tools to solve needs, you know, a lot of our customers were like, oh, well, I bought Ecamm so that I could live stream. And then I bought this other podcasting software so that I could podcast. And then I have like this software so that I can record videos, but you could actually do all of it within Ecamm. It's a matter of like thinking through, you know, what your workflow is and what, you know, what are the reasons that you have these other tools. Because Ecamm quickly is catching up to, if not exceeding, a lot of the feature set of those other tools that you're, you know, you're paying more for, or you're adding into your arsenal that you may not need anymore.
Yeah. I love having one tool, you know, it's like a Swiss Army knife. I love having one tool that can do multiple things. Yeah. It's interesting because I bought Ecamm specifically for podcasting, and my thing
was like, there you go. You're one of our exceptions.
And then I was like, but I can use it for live streaming if I wanted to. Yeah. I wasn't like, I'm buying it for live streaming and then I could podcast if I wanted to. The isolated video is going to be fantastic. It's something I really wish that it had. And I'm so happy that you guys are working on getting it. And I'm sure it's something you guys could have just like done. I'm sure it's not the most complicated thing in the world, but you guys want to do it right. And you guys want to make sure it works the way it's intended. So that's great. It's going to help a lot.
That's the hardest part. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's gonna, like thinking through. Sorry.
Go ahead.
I was going to say that. Yeah. I was going to say that. I mean, the hardest part is always, you know, every time that we're talking with the team, I think the biggest challenge for Ken and Glenn is like, we get what the feature request is, but because we have such a huge background of different customers who are all doing different things with it. And it's like, okay, isolated video, it might mean something completely different for Jared than it means for Doc, than it means for Katie. So it's, you know, how can we keep it as easy as possible, but make sure that it does everything as expected by each of these different people who are using it for a really different thing. So even in podcasting, isolated video could mean very different things for very different people.
That's such a good point. And I'm excited for it because, you know, right now how the video is, I have us both on screen, but if I was just talking or you were just talking and I hadn't switched between scenes, now I have the option of having that isolated video that I can just use. And I can it makes it so much easier to repurpose stuff. Like if we're both on screen and you're talking and I wanted just to cut a portion to repurpose of just you talking, now I have that versus both of us on camera and one person just sitting there, me being there like a dork, you know? So I think that's great. I'm really curious if it'll solve, and maybe you know this, maybe I'm totally wrong, but if it solves that internet issue that we're having occasionally where someone freezes, well, now on their end, you have the isolated video of them not being frozen that you could plug in there.
Thank you. That is as I was talking, I was like, oh, I had a point and it was slipping from my head. But that is the other feature ask that has been really popular with podcasters, is that there are other tools out there that allow for the guest or the co-host to record on their end as well and be able to, to send or to upload that file over to the host. And so that is a big solve for issues of, you know, connectivity or anything that happens with your internet. That is not currently in development, but is something we are certainly looking at and thinking about how we might be able to make that happen. One of the challenges that we have with those kinds of features is that Ecamm is not web-based. It sits on, like, it's a desktop app that sits on your computer. And so, which gives us a ton of benefits. You don't have to download or upload files anywhere else. Like, you have everything because you're creating it right on your computer. But it makes it difficult for some of those feature asks that require or are asking for us to do things on someone else's computer or remotely. Not impossible, and we're looking into it. But that, that's a big ask. And that's a similar issue that we're having on you know, the idea of like co-hosting, like if we were doing a 24-hour fundraiser, you know, live on YouTube and I was on like hour 15, you're like, okay, I'm going to come in and take over. I couldn't easily pass the controls over to you. Whereas a web-based solution, you might be able to do that, in a much easier way. So things like that, I think, are going to be our challenge in figuring out what makes sense to add into Ecamm. And if so, how do we do it? And what just might not be the best fit for Ecamm and we win in other places.
Gotcha. That's my number one request because it would solve the internet connectivity issue, whether it's in, whether you have a guest that's in Boston that has horrible internet or in San Diego that has horrible internet. Katie, I appreciate you coming on the show. Give us a sneak peek about some upcoming features from Ecamm, the process of the flow, and just more about you. So people can, you know, when they're listening to you on the flow, they know a little bit, you know, who Katie Fox is. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Thanks so much for having me. I'm trying really hard over the last couple of years to be as open book as I possibly can so that everyone out there who feels or felt the same way that I do knows that you're not alone in this. And you can get to a space where you feel you know, confident and capable. And even when things go wrong and you're like, ugh, I'm so frustrated with this, at least you know kind of what the troubleshooting steps are or how to get past it so it doesn't destroy your whole day or week or, or yeah. year or feel life ending. So yeah, please, if you're listening and you want to get to know me better, I'm super easy to find. You can certainly come hang out with us on the flow or I have a weirdly spelled last name, so I'm pretty easy to track down across social media. I'd love to get to know everyone better.
Well, I think the great thing too is, guys, if you have some of those questions about how to use something, Katie's a great person to ask if you don't have a technical background, because you're not going to get a technical answer.
You're not going to get a technical answer.
You're actually going to get one from somebody who's like, well, I had to figure this out and this is how I did it, right? Yeah. Where instead of getting that in-depth answer from me or from Doc or from somebody else, Katie's going to be like, well, yeah, guys, that's really complicated. All you got to do is this, right? You're going to get a simpler answer.
I pushed these 17 buttons. Yeah, exactly. That's kind of why, like, when Doc and I were talking about, like, okay, like, you know, what do we want to do as far as the format of the flow goes? You know, do we want just Doc to host it? Do we want just me to host? Like, you know, do we want to do a co-hosted thing? Part of it was, hey, Doc is super technical and very, you know, logical, and he's very facts over feelings. And, you know, that's who Doc is, which is awesome. And I'm the polar opposite. I like would not say that I'm technical. I'm totally feelings over facts. So I thought it was a nice mix of saying like, hey, you know, if you're really, really technical, you're going to get all of those answers. And if you're feeling really uncomfortable, like, hey, Katie's going to ask all of your stupid questions for you, because that's just how I roll. So you have kind of a safe space on either side of the coin.
And that works. Yeah. I'm a huge baseball fan. I've been especially, you know, watching a lot of baseball playoffs right now. But when listen to the commentators, right, you have someone that does the play-by-play that's very technical in what's going on. And then you got the person that's got a background in baseball. Maybe they played, maybe they didn't. Mm-hmm. But they're just like the commentator and they're a little bit off the cuff. And you're like, wait, what? But having the opposites that are still somewhat the same but different, like, it works. So I love listening to the flow. You guys should go check it out.
Oh, Katie, thank you.
Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Jared. I appreciate it.
Of course, of course. Well, guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Hive Podcast, listening and learning a little bit more about Katie and, of course, those little features that are coming to Ecamm. I'm excited for them. If you guys want to try out Ecamm, as always, there's a link down in the description and the show notes if you want to give it a try, and a coupon code to save you guys a little bit of cash on that subscription. All right, guys, if you enjoy this, make sure you give it a thumbs up, subscribe if you haven't, and if you're listening on Spotify or Apple, make sure you give it a 5-star rating and a written review, and I'll talk to you guys next week.